All right, it's good to be with everyone this afternoon. So just so that we know where we're at, we are in outline number 4. Last night, we heard about the Son of God being the embodiment of the entire triune God. I think we were all really impressed that we have one God, right? He's the Father, He's the Son, He's the Spirit, right? You get one, you get all three. There's not three gods in us, but there's a triune God that just desired to be in man, right? And that's in us now. And He has a name. What's His name?
Jesus,
right? Oh, man, what a good testimony, right? Not praying so much to God for anything, but just, Lord, I need You. I think whether we've all done that, I'm sure we felt that. Lord, I need You. I think that was such a refreshing testimony. I hope that would really stay with us, you know, and become our experience. And so what our brothers were really sharing about last night actually is what we're talking about here, and that the experience of the triune God, the experience of calling on the name of the Lord Jesus, what is our experience of the triune God? It's really as the Spirit. And so we are in the summer school of truth, right? And what is a help to us? What makes us different in the best way from the world is that we would be people of the truth. Amen. We'd be ones walking in the truth. And so today we're going to talk a bit more about the Spirit, right? And the Spirit is not just the last third of the triune God, but the Spirit is the triune God. Amen. Let's all say that. The Spirit is the triune God, right? We just, once again, let's just pick up the facts this week. Is the Son God, Megan? Yes. Is the Father God, Jason? Yes. And Eldon, is the Spirit God? Yes, right? We get one, we get the whole thing. We get the whole enchilada, right? And so there's a good verse I hope that we would be reminded of, and it's the first verse under Roman numeral 1. John 4:24. Let's all say it. God is Spirit.
God is Spirit.
Thank you, God is Spirit.
Thank you, God is Spirit.
Right? Very clear. Wow. God is Spirit. Period. You know, there's more to the verse. Actually, another part in the verse is that those who worship Him must worship in spirit. And if I have the time, I'd like to go further on this point about address. Last night we learned, what is God's address? It's in Christ, right? And Christ also has an address today. So hopefully we have a little time to get there. But I would just like to begin with this phrase, the two becomings of Christ. I don't know if any of us have ever heard this, but really what this does is it points to this word processed. I think a number of us have grown up coming to the meetings of the church. And maybe on a Sunday morning, a Lord's Day morning, you're at the table meeting, right? For those of us that grew up here in the church in Cambridge, maybe we're actually in the meeting hall of the church in Cambridge, and you heard, thank you, Lord, you are processed. And you're just like, amen. You know, and you're like, maybe one day I'll learn what that means. Get, you know what, if you didn't know, hopefully today is that day, right? He was processed. And I hope you would leave this time realizing, thank you, Lord, you were processed. How about we just say that ahead of time? Thank you, Lord, you are processed, right? Let's say, we're saying this in faith, and I believe we already have an appreciation. We may just not realize it. So Christ, okay, there's a very important verse to start off with, and this is John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's very clear here that the Word is God, but the Word was also with God. A little mysterious, okay? But we go 13 verses later to John 1:14, and it says, and the Word became flesh. Amen. What this points to is the incarnation of the Son of God as Jesus, amen, right? Where He became a man. And there's this key word, became, and the Word became flesh, right? You know, it's been hot. I think today, this afternoon, were there Otter Pops that were given out, right? It's in a solid form, right? But if you let it sit in the heat, it it'll melt and it becomes a liquid. It implies a little bit of a process, and you would say it implies a change, right? From a solid to a liquid. You know, right now when you had that Otter Pop, it's inside of you, but probably not else. That might kind of hurt. You know, who wants like jagged icicles in you? You don't. You drink it, you chew it, and then you get the juice, right? Kind of like Pablo did with the orange juice yesterday. He didn't just bite into the orange, but he waited until he could just drink the OJ, right? Lord, you're the real OJ. So this is the first becoming. The Word became flesh, right? It implies that there is a change. And so God became a man. Let's all say that. God became a man, right? And this man, what is his name?
Jesus.
I just want to insert this. It's not what was his name, but what is his name? Because he's still a man. Just remember that. He didn't just live 2,000 years ago. He's still alive today, right? He's still alive. So John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. This is the beginning of the process. Even it was touched on last night that was begotten in Mary, right? There was something begotten, born into Mary. Not of, he made very clear this preposition wasn't of Mary, but it was in Mary, right? So there was something already happening. Okay, and so what we do know is that, Brendan, didn't the Lord Jesus live a perfect human life? That's right. You know, isn't that good?
Yes.
And then he also died on the cross for us, right? He was buried, but he didn't stay there. He resurrected, right? And he ascended.
Amen.
He didn't just pop out of the ground and be like, this is where I'm staying. But actually, he ascended, right? He ascended. And this is the other becoming. And I want you to get this verse. 1 Corinthians 15:45. The specific part I want you to get is B, and we're just going to focus on that for the sake of time. And I think we're familiar, but once again, this other word became pops up again. And it says, in the last Adam, who is Christ? It says the first man, Adam, was a living soul or became a living soul. That points to Adam in the Garden of Eden, right? Back in Genesis. Well, the last Adam actually is another name for the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And it says the last Adam became what?
A life-giving spirit.
That's right. Became a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
Let's say life-giving spirit.
Life-giving spirit.
Lord.
Lord.
You became a life-giving spirit.
You became a life-giving spirit.
Right? Once again, the Word became flesh. Right? And that man, Jesus, when he died, he resurrected and ascended, he became a
life-giving
spirit. Once again, another change, right? So maybe we'll go back to the Otter Pop, right? We'll just stick with the Otter Pop, what we have in front of us. Now, if you let it just sit out for a really long time, eventually it's not just going to be a liquid, right? But maybe because of the ice, maybe the sugar will kind of get left behind. But the water, right, will eventually evaporate and there's another change, right? And it would become a gas. Right, become a vapor. So there's another change, right? You would say, in essence, it's still an Otter Pop, but it's just in a very different form, right? There's a change that took place for a particular reason. So just like, you know, maybe we would even say what Pablo was showing us is, you know, we want that orange. We want that orange, but that's not really a way that we can take it in. You know, it's not very approachable. But when it goes through a process, you know, if you've ever juiced or you cut or you squeeze, you know, it goes through a process so that we can just drink it up, right? It was already contained in the orange. It was already there, but it had to go through a process for us to be able to receive it. Isn't that good?
Yes.
So don't you feel a little more understanding now, right? So there's sometimes more appreciation comes when we have a little bit more of an understanding of some of these words. So like processed.
Yeah.
So how about we say, thank you, Lord, you are processed.
Thank you, Lord, you are processed.
And let's add, for me.
For me.
Right? This is very important. It wasn't just, hey, look what I can do. That's not what the Lord was about. but it was for me. His desire was to be with me, with us, to be in us, right? And so I want to hit one more verse, and then I want to show you a little diagram, okay? So actually, two verses. I have my Bible right here. And John 14:26, and then we'll go to John 14:56. I'm just going to read it to you. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, right? It says the Father will send the Spirit, right? And he'll send it in the name of the Son, right? This is Jesus speaking, right? He'll send in my name. But then you go to chapter 15, verse 26, and it says, but when the Comforter comes, whom I will send. Wait, he just said that the Father was going to send. But now you're saying that, but when the Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of reality.
Amen.
Right? So just underlining to be very clear that the Spirit, it comes from the Son. Yeah. But the Spirit also is sent from the Father.
Right.
We need to be very clear. You get one, how many do you get?
All of them.
Right. You get three separate, but you get all three, yet one.
Yeah.
Right? Just get that into you. Just amen it. Just take about, yes, that's right. You hear it, you may not totally grasp it, but yes, amen. Right? I get all three. I get one. Right? And so what's awesome, I think there might be an illustration later, but what's awesome is that when it, you know, in this verse, even later on, it says it testifies concerning me. When he sends the Spirit, when the Son sends the Spirit, when the Father sends the Spirit,
right,
he doesn't just go, ready?
Yeah.
Here you go. There's the Spirit. You know, another Comforter. Okay, throw it back. No, but what he does is he sends it from with. Here, stand up a little bit. From with, right? And so he gets the Spirit, but also he gets the sender. He also gets the sender, right? So this is important to realize. It's not just, hey, I did this process, look what I made, and here you go. But the whole point is so that all of God himself, you know, I like the words that Pablo used yesterday, the planner. You know, sometimes someone puts a plan together and they put this whole event together, but then they send someone else. But then sometimes the person they send is not the most reliable. And you're like, it's a great plan, but how is this going to get worked out? You know, do they really know all the details? They're a nice person. But what I really need is the person that knows all the details. And so really what we have here is with the Spirit is that, yeah, he planned everything as the Father, right? Is his wisdom. But guess what? When he sends, right? Even when he sent his Son who accomplished everything, he was with the Son all the way through. And then even then, when the Son accomplished everything, he was the accomplisher, right? Then eventually the Spirit was sent. And guess what? The Father and the Son were with him to apply everything. So he knows all the details of the plan. He has all the accomplishments of the plan. And he has all the applications. And they're just all in the one, right? And so I want to just show you a little diagram. I hope we're just impressed with this. I think we may have seen this before. Apologize for my handwriting. I'll just hold it up. Can you all see it? I was glad. Okay, it's not upside down. So this is good. Can we see Eric? All right, we're good. So I hope we can all see. We have God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We have God. And what happened? He became
a man.
He lived a perfect human life. Right, Isaac?
Yes.
Yes. He was crucified. He died for us. He resurrected.
Amen.
He ascended. Amen. Become
the
life-giving Spirit. Right? And that's not the end. So this is where I want to talk about. There's a new address.
Amen.
Right? God has an address. But guess what? I want to further define this address. There's three circles here. There's three circles here, right? Gabe, what is the deepest circle here?
Spirit.
The Spirit of?
God.
Well, first, this. What does this say down here?
Man.
So this is the Spirit of?
Man.
Right? If you want to know where God is and you've received him, actually the Bible is very clear. One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, Romans 8:16. Write this down. The Spirit himself. It's so clear that the Spirit is a person. The Spirit, it doesn't say the Spirit. Some people think, ooh, it's a phantom. It's the Spirit himself. And it says, witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. So it's very clear today, Eldon, this spirit who was processed, is the process triune God. Where is he today?
In us.
Where?
In my spirit.
In my spirit, right? Yeah, and God is spreading. God is spreading, right? But I just want us to all be impressed. God is in Christ today as the Spirit in my
spirit.
That's right. All right. I'm just going to end there, and I'm going to hand it off to Alan.
Amen. Hallelujah. So what word did Curtis talk about in the title? Well, if you could summarize Curtis's speaking, what would you say it is?
Process.
What? Go ahead, Pablo.
Go with me.
All right, go on. Go ahead.
Process.
Okay, so the triune God, so the Spirit is the processed triune God, right? The triune God did a lot of steps to get where? Into our spirit, right? And so I just want to focus a little bit on this word consummated, which is in the title, consummated. So if you look at the title, the whole title says the Spirit being the process and consummated triune God. So consummated, it just means, I looked at it as perfect and complete, okay? Perfect and complete. So everything is in the Spirit.
Amen.
Young people, everything is in the Spirit.
Amen.
You know, one verse that wasn't covered yesterday, I don't think, is Colossians 2:9. Okay? Colossians 2:9. It says, "For in him," referring to Jesus Christ, "dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily."
Amen.
So in this person, Jesus, everything of God was in this person, right?
That's right.
But, you know, he was just one man, right? Nathan, you can't experience Jesus because he was there 2,000 years ago, right? And so he went through another process to become the Spirit.
Amen.
And you can almost see everything kind of transferred. And not only transferred, but the Lord picked up a lot of things along the way, right?
Yeah.
He incarnation,
yes.
Human living,
amen.
Crucifixion, death, resurrection, ascension, all of that in the Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, so the Spirit is what? What's the first word that Curtis covered?
Process.
What's the second word?
Consummated.
Consummated. Everything is in the Spirit. And I just wanted to cover this title. In John 16, I think it's 16:13, it says, the Spirit is called, he's called the Spirit of reality. Okay, let me read this verse. This verse is really awesome. John 16:13, it says, "But when he, the Spirit of reality comes, he will guide you into all the reality." Okay, do you believe that, Isaac? Really? Do you believe that the Spirit will guide you into all the reality? Reality of what? Reality of all that God is, okay? So the Spirit of reality guides the believers. You should write this down. The Spirit of reality, he guides all the believers into all the reality. And 2 points I wanted to highlight. He makes real all that the Son is, okay? All that the Son is. And I just wanted to spend a little bit of time on considering the person of the Lord Jesus. Okay? I don't know if you guys have thought about this, but, you know, human life is a life of suffering. Would you guys agree? It's just a life of suffering. And so actually the Lord, as a man, he also suffered like us. And I was just considering this. Two things stuck out to me. The first thing is that the Lord Jesus, he was misunderstood. That was part of his suffering. He was misunderstood by everyone. He came to save his own people, and his people, you know, turned away from him, right? And they even opposed him, right? It's kind of like the example yesterday. He became a bird, and the bird still flew away,
yeah, that's right.
You know? So he was misunderstood there. When he was on the cross, he was misunderstood. I was reading through the Gospels, and in Golgotha, you know, they mocked him, saying, "You're the King of the Jews," wagging their heads. "You said that you're going to destroy the temple in 3 days, and you're going to build it up." And then they said, "If you save yourself from there on the cross, what? We'll believe. Just come down," right? Kind of in a mocking way.
Sure.
But the Lord knew, you know, actually, you know, if they didn't believe in all the things that he already did, this kind of miraculous things, they wouldn't believe him there. But he was just misunderstood. They didn't know what he was trying to accomplish, what he was doing, right? So he was misunderstood his whole life. Another thing, part of his suffering, is he probably was actually very lonely. Have you guys considered that? The Lord being lonely? I was just reminded of the story in the garden. He's there praying to the Father, and his two disciples, his closest disciples that he took with him, they couldn't even support him. Do you believe that? They just left him. They fell asleep. And then he came back and he says, "Come on, guys, like, help me out. Like, you know, pray, stand with me in prayer." And then they just fell asleep again. And then on the cross, when he was there, even God forsook him. In the last 3 hours, God left him. And of course, he did that because of redemption, but the Lord was alone, right? He was all alone. And so, you know, I was just considering, in our life, a lot of times, maybe you feel misunderstood, right? Sometimes you feel alone, and you think, "Nobody can understand me. No one understands me." Well, let me tell you, the Lord Jesus understands you.
Amen.
Because the Lord Jesus was the person who was most misunderstood. And he even passed through this human life. You know, in Hebrews, that song we like to sing, it says that he's touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. So he knows. He actually knows. That was part of the human living that is now where? Where is it? It's in the Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord's human living is in the Spirit. Another quick example, you know, another aspect, it's not just the Lord's person, but everything that the Lord is and has done, accomplished, is in the Spirit.
Amen.
And one of the things that he accomplished is death on the cross, right?
Yeah.
And the experience of the death on the cross is there's a killing power that deals with everything not Christ, deals with everything negative. That's the experience of the cross. And I just want to share this story. You know, there's this one time I was picking up, or I was waiting for someone to go to a meeting, and the person was running late, and I was there, and you know, first 5 minutes, you know, just like, "Amen, Lord, it's okay." Another 5 minutes goes by. It's like 10 minutes, Lord Jesus. 10 minutes, why am I out here for 10 minutes? Why are they making me wait for 10 minutes? And I'm there, you know, trying to turn to the Lord, just, "Lord, oh Lord, Lord." And then 30 seconds goes by, it's like, you know, if there's a temperature of anger and losing patience, it's, you know, slowly increasing. "Lord Jesus, what? You know, I've been late sometimes, Lord, so I should just forgive that person. Like, you know, I should just forgive. Lord, 15 minutes, Lord Jesus." And so in that experience, actually, I was going through that experience, and I realized, and I was kind of wondering, like, why are all these negative feelings coming up? And I was even, quote, praying, or trying to pray, trying to call on the Lord. But for some reason, it didn't click yet. But then I realized something. Very simple. It was a simple realization. It's because I didn't actually break through to my spirit yet. Even in calling on the Lord, you know, praying, I was actually probably still in my mind, you know, thinking, but just uttering words like, Lord, Lord Jesus. I don't know if you guys have ever been in that experience. Have you guys been in that? And so then, by the Lord's mercy, I really focus inwardly to turn to the Lord. I hope we would all try, you know, if you really focus to turn to the Lord and you touch the Spirit in your spirit, what happens? The death of Christ. And so when I touched the Lord, you know, I began to call on the Lord a little bit deeper. I didn't really want to think about the situation. I just, you know, focus on the Lord, set my mind on my spirit. Instantly, those negative feelings. I still remember. I was just like in the third heavens in my car, like for 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Praise the Lord. It's okay. So in the spirit, there's also the death of Christ that kills all the negative things in our being.
Amen.
Young people, what's the verse? The spirit of reality. I hope you would remember that the spirit of reality will guide us into all the reality, all that God is. Okay, and I just want to end. I kind of have an elaborate illustration. This will be the last illustration. So I was inspired by Pablo, you know, with the orange juice. And yeah, I was considering, okay, so this illustration is just going to show a lot about the triune God. Sorry? Oh, it's okay. Okay, so here I have some material. Actually, I won't take everything. Okay. So actually, I got all these things from Trader Joe's, right? Because I want to make a delicious smoothie for someone, okay? Delicious smoothie. Okay, so I actually asked Eldon what he likes in a smoothie before. Okay, so first step, Eldon, he didn't even have to go to Trader Joe's. You know what? I came to Eldon. I brought all the supplies. Wow. This is God the Father coming to man. You don't even need to go to the store. Here it is, Eldon. Here it is. Okay. So, and what's in this smoothie? Okay, I'm just going to put things in. And when I put all these things in, I'll just start with the banana. Incarnation. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm just going to... Oh. Sorry, I'm trying to save time. Okay, that's good. Okay. Okay, so banana. Oh, I asked Eldon. He said he likes banana and strawberries. So I got banana and strawberries. All right. Okay. That's good. Some frozen strawberries. Let me put this down there. Okay, got some strawberries. Does that look pretty good to y'all?
Yes.
This is human living, okay? Human living. Is that good? Huh? And I got something, don't worry. Oh, wait. Okay, that's good enough. Actually, can someone get a towel? Just in the future. And I went above and beyond. I got some mangoes. These are expensive mangoes.
Oh,
thanks. Sorry, Eldon. I'm just gonna. I washed my hands before this with soap. Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is that? Maybe that's a crucifixion.
Crucifixion.
Okay. It's not complete yet. Oh man, ice cream.
Wow.
Resurrection. Hallelujah, it's new ice cream. Look, it's not even opened, it's new.
Wow.
Resurrection. Okay.
Yeah.
I actually had orange juice, but I forgot it at home, so. We'll probably have to use water.
We get to use
water. Okay, hold on. It's not gonna. Okay. Just taste and see. Okay. Hallelujah. Water. We just need a little bit to get going. Oh, it's okay. Oh, it's too much. You guys don't think it's gonna be sweet enough? Oh, chocolate. Okay. The Lord's so sweet. The Lord is so sweet. This is going to be a good smoothie. Okay, so I hope you guys can see, you know, through this little simple illustration, actually, I'm doing a lot to make this smoothie for Eldon, right? Okay, sorry, excuse the mic. Oh, gosh. Let me make sure that this is on. See, the Lord went through a process. Gentle, slowly. There we go. Okay, the Lord went through a process. He went to the cross, became the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
Oh, no. Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Okay, everything. Everything is in this smoothie.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good, right? Okay, Eldon, come up.
Yeah, Eldon.
Okay. Okay, hold on. Okay, don't drink it yet, though. We want to make sure it's full, nice and full, right? Okay. Looks pretty good. So I did a lot to go through this process. I really want Eldon to enjoy this. Okay, hold this.
Okay,
hey, don't drink it.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. So just dump it in here.
All right.
Yeah, oh, Lord. Okay. It's okay. Oh, Eldon. Eldon. Oh, Lord. Okay, thanks, Eldon. Okay, so, anyways, hey, thanks, Eldon. Don't worry, I'll call you back up. Okay, so, I think from the, you all get the point, right? So the Lord, the triune God, he actually went through a lot for us to enjoy him. But so many times, it's there, it's available, but we waste it. We don't drink it. We just dump it in the garbage. How many times, you don't have to raise your hands, but a lot of times, you know, when you wake up in the morning, there's a smoothie there. The triune God is there as the spirit. Everything in this smoothie. Oh no, I'm gonna go to bed. That's okay. Right? How about the word, reading the Bible? You know, there's the Bible is right there. But I just want to play some video games. Just neglect the Bible, right? Anyways, regarding the Bible, maybe I can share a little bit more. You know, personally, growing up, I didn't like to read. I really didn't like to read. And, you know, people always say the book is better than the movie. But I'm like, no, the movie's better than the book. Because you don't have to read, right? You just get the whole story, you just watch it. The movie is always better than the book. And so I just don't like to read. And so, you know, nowadays, in reading the Word, a lot of times, even for myself, when I get busy, things start to pick up. The first thing that goes is reading the word. You know, just neglect the word. But brothers and sisters, in John 6, it says the words which I have given to you, the words which I have spoken to you are spirit and life. So I hope, young people, you realize actually when we come to the word, there is this smoothie. We can come to the word. When we read the word, we can get this triune God, right? The process and consummated triune God as the Spirit.
That's right.
And so, still today, even today is, Lord, give me more of an appetite for your word.
Yeah.
Even though I don't like to read, Lord, I wanna have a hunger, a desire to read your word.
Yes.
Okay. So I hope this little illustration helps. I wanted to end actually with something that touched me very much. It's from hymn 12. It's not in your song. It's from the hymnal, hymn 12. And this song, maybe some of you have sung this in the Lord's table. It's actually a song. It talks about the triune God. It mentions the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But what really touches me is stanza 4, okay? Stanza 4. I'll just read it. It says, though we have often slighted thee, thy spirit often grieved. Okay, let me define some of these words. Okay, so though we have often slighted thee, slighted means to insult by treating them without proper attention. Okay, did you guys catch that? Insult by treating them without proper attention. So though we have often slighted thee, thy spirit often grieved. That means to cause to suffer. I think a lot of times we grieve the spirit, right? Okay, but what touched me is these next two verses, okay? Or it's the next two lines. Yet.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, yet.
Amen.
Yet thou dost still as spirit come.
Amen.
As life to be received. Hallelujah. Sorry. We wasted a lot, but I'll make him some more after this, but I'll give him a full cup after this. Because in this stanza it says, yet thou dost still. Here, come on, Ellen. Thou dost still as spirit come, as life to be received. Yeah, you can drink it now or later. It's okay. But Eldon is very happy now. He has a smoothie. Okay, so how about I'll just end here, but let's sing the first four stanzas of hymn 12, okay? First four stanzas of hymn 12.
Pull it up on your phone.
Or your song.
Yeah.